turn old. It looks like that section wins the prize this morning. Good morning. Welcome to 8 o'clock worship. I'm so glad to have you here, each and every one of you. I keep saying I think it's really important that we keep slowly opening churches and the country, and we just keep going this in a good way. Let's do our mission. A Desert Hills Lutheran Church, as individuals, but as a whole congregation, we are a people who love to celebrate. Grace. We love to make. Disciples. Starting with ourselves, and then on the property, but especially off the property. We love it whenever we can make a difference. So, that hasn't changed over this very strange times. So, cell phones off. The protocol, well, you guys know the protocol, and we're working on it. The offering will be taken, you know, you can drop the offering at the end of the service. And let's see, the only other announcement I have is that the new member class got staggered a little bit, and so I'm keeping it open one more week. So on Thursday the 22nd, people can still join it. So if you know somebody or they want to join, they can join. I keep picking up more people, and you know me, one more is always what I'm looking for. So if I can get one more on Thursday, I'll be delighted. So there's that. Let's see, I don't think there's any other announcements that I have, so we can, oh.
How you doing?
Jake, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, but I'm having a little trouble right now.
Really? What's going on?
I'm trying to get my way home. You know, and my last name's Dorothy.
Dorothy?
Yeah, Jake Dorothy.
Dorothy.
And so Toto and I, we've got my ruby red slippers on.
Oh, and I must say, they are delightful.
And we're trying to find the yellow brick road so we can get home. But we got to find the wizard. Are you the wizard?
No, I'm not the wizard. Just the pastor.
Well, maybe you can help. Because I think myself and all the people here, it's been a strange year. We need to get home. We need to find our way home. And the church has always been our home, but we've got to find our way home further from here. What can we do?
Oh, well, I think everybody here is going to get a mailing.
Oh, mailings are,
yes,
good.
Yes, mailings are good, and we're going to invite everybody to kind of join, and they will help you get home, all of us to get home.
So if they get the mailing, they can fill it out for the lunches and the dinners, and they can come and hear from you on how we can all get home.
Yes. Yes.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
But right now, I kind of got to go.
You got to go?
Yeah, Toto and I are going to see if we can find our way back home today. And we're just going to go somewhere.
You're going to go somewhere.
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 Oh, somewhere. Somewhere. Thanks, Jake. Somewhere, all right. All right. That's it. I think it's eight or 9 years, Jake has shown up to help us with stewardship. Like I said, the same reaction yesterday at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock, And it just makes me laugh because it's so ironic. The most generous church I've ever been connected with in my whole 41 years of ministry. And if I say stewardship, you go, oh no. But you're the most generous. So let's have a good worship this morning. Please stand for the opening hymn.
And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives to them the power to become the children of God and grants to you his Holy Spirit. Amen. As you're seated, amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of God's Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, for the reign of God. And for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Help, save, and defend us, O God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heaven, you are
Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created by you, for you. Let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Setting for the Gospel of Matthew 22 is Holy Week. This happened during Holy Week. So it's either Tuesday or Wednesday. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the clergy that showed up, the chief priests and the elders. They went after Jesus about authority. So now it's a different group of clergy who are attacking him. And they want to trap him, and they want him to go away. So this time it's the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now, it's really interesting that the Pharisees and Herodians are together. The Pharisees were in charge of the synagogues. They were absolutely dedicated to making sure that everybody behaved in a holy way. No dancing, no smoking, no this or that. It's kind of like Baptist preachers. The Pharisees were after the people all the time to be holy. Herodians were like government clergy. They worked for Herod. They were paid by Rome. And so it's interesting that these two groups got together to try to gang up on Jesus, because you have the one side, very, very Jewish, and then you've got almost semi-Jewish with the Herodians, who are paid for by the government. And they're going to go after him about taxes. It's a little like having two groups like Republicans and Democrats working together against somebody. I tried to come up with a good example for us of Democrats and Republicans working together. I got nothing. At this point in our history, got nothing. Anyway, the Herodians and the Pharisees hated each other. Didn't like each other, but they're going to join forces now to get rid of Jesus. So they're going to go after taxes. Taxes was a big issue. Now, in the Roman Empire, it was 1% to 3% people had to pay on everything, 1% to 3%. But then Rome also imposed a bunch of other taxes, such as income tax, ground tax, poll tax, customs tax, property tax, crop tax, sales tax. And the people back then loved taxes as much as we do. So, but the Pharisees, the Jews, really hated them, taxes, because it was a foreign government demanding that the Jews help pay for Rome. And so they really hated Herodians, not so much, because they were part of King Herod, and some of the money, the tax money, filtered down to the Herodians. So these clergy come up to Jesus, and they're going to butter him up. They got really smarmy. You know what smarmy is? I'll give you an example. I'll read this in a smarmy voice. Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You are indifferent to popular opinion and you don't pander to your students. So, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus calls them hypocrites. It's a loaded question. He can't win, no matter what he answers. If he says, don't pay to taxes, the clergy would run off to the Roman authority and say he's preaching sedition. If he says, yes, you should pay taxes to Caesar, then they would run to the people and say, look, he's not a good Jew. He's actually in cahoots with the Romans. So he couldn't win either way. So he notices their malice, and so he says, let me see a coin. And the Pharisees produce it. Now that in itself, bam! Pharisees weren't supposed to handle money because it has graven images on it. So, but Jesus doesn't say anything, so he says, whose image is on the coin? Caesar's. Then give to Caesar's what is his and give to God what is his. And that's all he's going to say about paying taxes. And we've been fussing about this one forever. I'm just so glad we didn't take it literally. Can you imagine if we did not allow money in here with graven images on it? Like Ben Franklin, Andrew Jackson, Grant, Ben Franklin. That's the 100, you know. Yeah, okay. Kind of reminds me of the kid that was given 2 quarters and to go to Sunday school. And he was supposed to put 1 quarter in the offering plate and 1 quarter was for ice cream. And on the way to Sunday school, he dropped the 2 quarters and one of them rolled down the sewer. And he picked up the other quarter and he looked up to heaven and said, well, God, looks like you lost your quarter. I kind of like that. Okay, so what does it mean to give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God? The thing that we have to remember, and we know it, but we have to be reminded of it. And this is a time when we really have to be reminded of it. We have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of 2 places. We have a citizenship to the United States. And we have a citizenship in heaven. We belong in both places. This last week, Julie and I went to Rocky Point. Went to Mexico. 3 days. It was wonderful. Went on the beach. And like I wrote in my thing, got stuck in the dirt. But we came back across the border on Thursday. Took 25 minutes. I think about 25 minutes. That is the shortest time across the border we have ever had. We've been down there 8 or 9 times. We once spent 7 hours trying to cross the border with 5 boys, and mama and myself. When you think of that, being in a line of cars for 7 hours with no bathrooms, that's all I'll say. Okay, so, but when we cross the border, as always happens, I cross the border and I have a big sigh of relief. Anytime I have left this country and I've gotten back to America, back into the airport, big sigh of relief. Once I get through the customs of the big sigh of relief. Why? Because I love it here. And I was born here and raised here and went to school here and have gone to church here, paid taxes here. I am a citizen of what I believe is a great country. And there are some places where citizens can't leave whenever they want. And some places where they will kick you out. But we happen to be citizens of the United States. We are also citizens of the kingdom of God. Regardless of whether we are blue or red, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. King Jesus is our king. And that kingdom supersedes the other one. It always, I think that's what Jesus is talking about. It could be wrong, but you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. You render to Rome what is Rome's. You render to God what is God's. And so the authority that we have is to God. So if you talk to a Christian in China, and they'd have to be secret about it. Or North Korea, and they'd have to be secret about it. Or some other countries in the world, especially Middle East, you have to be silent. But if you ask them, and if you're not a government official, they will say privately or secretly, my kingdom is with God. That is where my allegiance goes. But we all live in two places. So the thing about it is, if we live in a country that is not at odds with our religion or our values, everything is good. Life is good. Do you follow that? If we live in a country that doesn't hate our religion, it's good. But there's a lot of countries in the world that hate our religion. So it's much better to live in a place where it's good. But sometimes it can go bad. And when it goes bad, then the kingdom of Rome and the kingdom of God become in conflict. Now, I've told you, but it just made such a difference of the biography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I keep going back to it, but it was finished a couple months ago. Anyway, I just keep going back to it because it was so powerful to me because he's a Lutheran pastor. He was executed about a week before the end of World War II. He was, in fact, in a plot to kill Hitler, and they executed him for that just before the end of the war. But earlier, he got to a point where he believed that his own German Lutheran church had been taken over by the National Socialists. And they had been. The Nazis put in place their people at the higher echelons of the church, and Bonhoeffer knew this, and so he said, I can't be a part of that church anymore because it's being taken over by the Kingdom of Rome. And then the next thing that happened is he watched how the Nazis, and he was privy to information about what Hitler and the Nazis were doing. The media kept all of it from the people, but he found out about it. And so all of a sudden now, Bonhoeffer wasn't at home with his church and wasn't at home with his country. And then he began to believe that the only thing that to do is a plot to take Hitler out. So that is a situation where, instead of the kingdom of Rome and the kingdom of God sort of working together, they couldn't work together. That happens. I mean, it's happening. It happens in our world today. We render to Caesar until we can't, because our final allegiance has to be to the kingdom of God. So how does this work in our lives? Well, we have to be aware that we live in both places. We have a dual citizenship. And we participate in the one and we participate in the other, as long as we can. They're not equal, but if the values are close, we can be okay. But we must give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but we must never give Caesar the things that are God's. Can I read that one again? Or have I lost you? Have I lost you yet? No. Are you still with me? Yeah, okay. We must give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. To the government, yes. But we must never give to Caesar the things that are God's. Now that's the tricky question. Whenever Christianity becomes state-controlled, it's bad. History has proved that over and over and over and over again. So they need to be kept separate. Caesar always wants to take over God's kingdom. One of the things any country that is, when they get to a certain place, they will begin to go after the church. And the biggest reason is we will never give full allegiance to Rome. We always will say we'll only take a knee for King Jesus. And that's what makes us dangerous. So, we all want to represent the will of God, and we now are currently in a time where, it's sad, it's just the reality of it, we have, even within our own church, we have people on both sides that believe they're doing the will of God, but there's very little communication going back and forth, and we have it in our families, and we have it in our neighborhoods, and it's there. So we have to just keep working on it. Let me give you an example, though, of a time when somebody was asked to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, render to God the things that are God. Robert E. Lee was a deeply devout Christian. Robert E. Lee from Civil War. Just on the eve of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln called him to Washington secretly, and Abraham Lincoln offered him the Army of the Potomac if he'd be the general of the Northern Army. And Robert E. Lee politely declined, got back on the train in the morning, and went back to Virginia and took over the Army of the South. He believed that the will of God was to keep slavery and to fight the North. It is not easy to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. There's reasons that it's such a difficult time right now for Christians. And I'm not going to say what we're to do. I'm just stating that the difficulty is because we have citizenship in two places, and we want to do the best in both places. It's just sometimes not clear. You have to go with priorities. There was a missionary, this is a true story, a missionary was evicted from China because he was teaching the gospel. So the authorities came to him and said, look, you can't do this, we're done with this. You're not... close your church, you're done, we're going to come and get you, and we will take you to the border, and you're out. And you can take 200 pounds of stuff for the trip. Well, he was married, and he had two little kids. Well, they lived there for years, and so husband and wife, kids, began to put things into the living room, and they were weighing them to get to the 200 pounds. They finally got it. The soldiers came, and they said, ready to go? And they said, yes. Did you weigh everything? They said, yes. And the soldiers said, did you weigh the children? What? Weigh the children. Anytime you get a government that's going to weigh the children, we have conflict between our citizenship. And when there's conflict between our citizenships, that's when it's really difficult for us. We have two citizenships, and we have to pay attention to both. So I don't have an assignment. I did this sermon, and I thought, it's enough to know that we have a dual citizenship and just to think about things and to know that it's not easy. And being a Christian at this time in our country, I don't think is an easy thing because there's so many things going on. So I'm going to leave it at this. I hope this is okay. Pray for yourself, pray for the country, and pray for the election, however you see fit. But keep struggling with the dual citizenship. Amen. Thank you.
Please rise as together we share in the words of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As you're seated, amen. The psalmist has written in Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Pray with me. Lord, we offer our thanks and prayers and our gifts of money for your mission in the world, to bring good news and hope for all people. Lord, in your mercy, we now pray for members of our congregation, leaving the prayer list with thanksgiving, Carol Holm. We now continue our prayers for the 65 still on our prayer list. To Lord, to all in need of healing, grant peace, comfort, healing, and hope. We pray for our country, for the upcoming election, the end of the COVID lockdown, and for peace. Finally, we know we live in two kingdoms, the one of Rome and the one of your kingdom. Help us give to Caesar the things that are Caesar and Caesar's. But help us even more to never give to Caesar the things, Lord God, that are yours. As together we pray the prayer that our Lord has taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In the beauty of this day, as you leave, as I give the sign of the cross, I invite you to go into the community, go to your homes with the blessings of the pastors and one another here. Please rise for the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Amen.